We just watched one of the worst games for the Knicks this season. Boy, oh boy, that was a stinker. We also have a concerning Julius Randle update, along with some positive OG Anunoby news, looking like OG Anunoby is returning soon. But first, we got to talk about this game. Let's do it.
Let's run that intro. They're playing basketball.
Basketball. Basketball. You're listening to the Knicks Nation Podcast, where we've got all your Knicks needs covered.
Puts up a three. Bang! Bang! He ties the game!
Now, live from the city that never sleeps, here are your hosts, Anthony and Chris.
What is going on, Knicks Nation? We are back for another live stream edition of the Knicks Nation Podcast. This is episode 39 of the Knicks Nation Podcast. The New York Knicks just lost to the Philadelphia 76ers by a final score of 79-73 in Madison Square Garden. Probably one of the worst games we've seen in a while from the New York Knicks. Chris, what's going on this Sunday evening? How are you, my sir?
I'm all right, man. I'm extremely annoyed, man. It was an annoying type of game. Game I thought the Knicks should have came on top, but look, they didn't show up, man. How are you feeling after this low-scoring affair at MSG?
You know, it was just one of those games where we just didn't have energy. You know, last game versus Orlando, the Knicks came out with a lot of energy to start that game, and that was a big game. And you can tell the Knicks wanted to win that game. And it was a great team win. And after that game, we were just coming off a great win. The vibes were immaculate. Fans were starting to get happy because we had, you know, great OG Anunoby news. He's on the brink of returning that we'll talk about in a bit. And you looked at this Philadelphia 76ers team coming into Madison Square Garden without Tyrese Maxey and Embiid. Now, look, are the Knicks missing players? Yes. But at the end of the day, this game is in your home court. You know, and the Philadelphia 76ers are right on your tail. We also talk about the standings in a bit. They're right on your butt, and you have a back-to-back against the Philadelphia 76ers. You play them again on Tuesday, and they came in here and pretty much they didn't do anything, like, spectacular. I mean, they were good defensively, Chris, but the Knicks were just off, you know? It's just...
Yeah.
It's one of the... This game pissed me off.
I hate to say, oh, it's just one of those games, because let's be real. You know, we were like, look, we got to get this win at Orlando, and boom, the Knicks came out with fire and took care of Orlando, right? And then you have the 76ers, like you said, on a back-to-back, no Embiid, no Tyrese Maxey. And look, even with the Knicks banged up as they are, I still feel we have more talent than the 76ers.
Yeah.
And what happens tonight? You know, the Knicks go 9 of 40 from 3-point range. Like, I think that's 22%. Like, that's...
They were 9 of 40.
That's terrible. That's terrible. And the 76ers, like you said, they didn't do anything special, scored 79 points. If you were to tell me before this game, 76ers will cap out at 79 points, will the Knicks win or lose? Come on, man. Usually that's a win for the Knicks.
Yeah, wow. 9 of 40 from 3. 26 of 80 from the field, the Knicks were. Brunson, 6 of 22. Josh Hart couldn't hit anything tonight. 4 of 13. DiVincenzo, 3 of 12 from 3. Hartenstein went in and out of this game, got hurt in the first half, came back in that fourth quarter. Bogdanović, actually, I think, you know, that last possession, that last few possessions there where Precious was in the corner and he shot that corner three with like 30 seconds left. I wanted Bogdanović to be in that corner. Now, I know Tom Thibodeau loves to, you know, play Precious, you know, for defensive purposes. But when you're in need of offense, Bogdanović was one of the most efficient Knicks tonight. 4 of 8 from the field, 2 of 4 from 3. He did put him in later on in the game, but I would have liked to see him in that corner rather than Precious there. And then Brunson fumbled the ball at the end of the game. It was just... You know that feeling you got today when you woke up and you felt weird because the clocks went forward and you just like a weird feeling? This game was a perfect correlation to that. It's just, I just didn't feel right today. And this game was just like I felt this whole day. It was just,
yeah.
Maybe the Knicks felt that. It was one of those days.
I mean, maybe you're right, because that is true. You know, I woke up today. I was all out of whack. You know, my wife was all out of whack too. We didn't know what time it was. You know, one appliance is saying it's, you know, 5. Another saying it's 4. You know, yeah. Maybe that's what it was, man. Because, man, oh, man, I can't remember the last time I saw the Knicks look so bad. It got to the point where late in this game, you know, the Knicks were getting some stops, but I had zero confidence that we were going to go down and make a basket or get an open look at that. And I think the last open look we got in this game was Dante DiVincenzo 3 that he absolutely just bricked it. And I was just like, what is going on? It was bizarro land. Bizarro.
Bizarro land indeed. Cameron says, what happened with Julius Randle? Yeah, the thumbnail and the title of this pod is obviously Ian Begley. We'll go over it in a few. But he says that there's some concern involving Julius Randle. I'll play some audio that I have as well regarding Julius Randle that we'll go over in a second. Joel says, why are the Knicks barely scoring? What's going on, Joel? Yeah, I mean, halftime, Chris, this game was 31-37. 31-37. Both teams didn't even hit 80 points in this game. Like,
it's insane.
Coming off of last game versus Orlando, where the Knicks held them to, you know, what, in the 70s as well. But, yeah. I mean, back-to-back games where the Knicks held opponents to, you know, less than 85 points. But still, I mean, this game was, look, I mean, Alec Burks, another stinker. It seems like he's awful. I mean, at this point, there's no sugarcoating it. He missed an assignment there in the fourth that I tweeted out on Knicks Nation. He's been bad. Burks has been bad. I thought Jericho Sims tonight did some good things. McBride went 0 for tonight, 16 minutes. I know before the pod, you were like, where's McBride at? And it was just, you know, 0 for 5, 0 for 2 for McBride. And they just couldn't score at the end of the day. You know?
I mean, I was questioning. I was like, you know, like you said earlier, you know, you had Achiuwa at the corner, you know, late in this game.
Yeah.
Where I can't believe that couldn't have been a Tom Thibodeau, you know, he did not design that play. I just think Brunson saw him open and said, hey, why not? You know, he's wide open. Let me pass it to him. But like you said, I would have loved to see Bogdanovich there. Why not have a Miles McBride out there? Granted, 0 for 5, but you know, someone proven to make some tough shots here and there. We just needed offense, basically. And I had no confidence outside of Brunson, who, again, you know, did what he could do, but an off game for Brunson, right? It's just I just can't understand how bad offensively we were.
Yeah.
And this wasn't like they were trapping or double or triple teaming Jalen Brunson either. They just made it difficult by putting length on him. So frustrating game, man. And like you mentioned, Burks still missing. Where's the Alec Burks that was shooting 40%+ from three, you know, 40%+ overall that we thought we were going to get from Detroit? You know, you figure in Detroit, he's having a harder time, you know, it'll be harder to score in Detroit, right? And here with the Knicks, he's just missing. He's on a milk carton somewhere.
MIA for Burks, man. MIA. S550, what's going on? The rim might as well be an inch wide. The irony is we kept Orlando to 74 points, which is the lowest scoring for the whole season. But then the next game, we score 73. This was one of the hardest games. This is one of the worst games they played all season. Just offensively, and, you know, it was just they were off tonight. And a lot of concerns regarding, you know, Burks and whatnot, but And what stinks about today is that who lost? The Miami Heat lost, the Magic lost, and Cleveland lost. So the Knicks could have really, you know, not solidified themselves, but they could have really, like, stayed in that, you know. What are they now? They're still number 4 in the Eastern Conference?
We're still in number 4. But, you know, we could have had a little bit of a cushion, you know?
Yeah. So that's the thing that stinks. PL, what's going on? I see you say Randle concerned. Yes, got some audio from Ian Begley that there are concerns with Julius Randle that I'll play for you in a second. Cam, what's going on? Salute Knicks Nation. Didn't look good at all. Guys, look uninterested, tired, distracted, wasn't a good showing. Everybody needs to be in the gym shooting tonight, post-game. Everybody. I want everybody to be in the gym shooting 20% from three tonight. And just one of those games where, you know, in the moment, it stinks, it sucks, but it's one of those games where you want to forget and just move on. And the great thing about the NBA is that we have this same team on Tuesday. We can get revenge on Tuesday versus the 76ers. This game even got chippy. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if the Knicks match up with the 76ers in a playoff series. Dante got chippy with Oubre. Oubre was like, they're a bunch of, man, oh, man. I think they're a bunch of punks, honestly. But when games get chippy like that, I'm like, yeah, Dante, yeah. And then it just stinks that we were on the losing end of tonight. But
yeah, whatever. What was your thoughts on that scuffle, man? I mean, it looked like Dante did get hit from behind, so I get it. He was pissed off. You know, hey, we're frustrated. I'm sure they were frustrated as hell. None of their shots going down and whatnot. You know, game just being brutal to watch. And I'm sure they felt it. You know, you felt in MSG, like, yeah, it's been electric lately. And this, you could hear a pin drop out there. That's how bad the Knicks were playing. So what were your thoughts on that scuffle, man? I mean,
I love it.
That was probably the most entertaining part of it.
Yeah, I love it, man. I love it. When games get like that, when teams want to test the Knicks, I love it, man. Keep testing us. And I just love, like, the Knicks, like, they're not pushovers, you know? We don't got punks on the team. So I loved it, but it just was unfortunate that we didn't come up on top. All right, so push that game to the side. It is what it is. We stunk it up. It was one of the worst games this season. Julius Randle, got some audio here from Ian Begley that Julius Randle, let me just play the audio and then we'll react to it. I also have Carmelo Anthony reacting to how Julius Randle will return and how he will, you know, sort of play with the injured shoulder, how he can, like, sort of, like, get around playing the injured shoulder. But here's Ian Begley saying that there is some concern regarding the Julius Randle injury.
For those two, but with Randle, you know, he had been doing everything except taking contact, everything that Ananobi had been doing prior to taking contact for a long time. And Randle hasn't been cleared yet for contact, at least he hadn't been as of earlier this week. And there was some concern about, you know, why it was taking so long for Randle to actually get cleared to go back to the practice floor, take contact with his teammates, because he's been at this stage for a while now where he's doing everything but that. And there's some concern about why it's taken so long for him to get cleared, because as of earlier this week, it hadn't happened yet. He's looked good in all the workouts, as far as I've heard, but it's just interesting that it's taken a while for him to get cleared for that contact.
So he said that there's some concern regarding Julius Randle's progression, that he hasn't progressed faster than, you know, as some in the front office may have expected. But I don't know. When you hear that, Chris, what are your thoughts? Do you get concerned, or is it just, it's one of those injuries where it takes time?
I mean, when it comes to the Knicks, we've already seen this, especially this season with all the injuries we've been having. They keep everything just close to their chest, right? So yeah. I think they're just trying to be extra cautious with Julius. I am a little bit nervous because I'll say more so, like, look at the OG Anunoby situation. We got reports saying that, you know, he's out there, he's shooting. We see him shooting out there. But the only hurdle left is literally to be cleared, and he's yet to be cleared. Yeah. You know? So in that sense, I do get a little bit nervous when it comes to Julius Randle, because maybe they're seeing something that maybe they don't like, and that's why they haven't cleared him for contact yet. So yeah. I know the OG and Julius Randle injuries are two big different things, but you know, it does give me a little bit of concern, because we've seen this before where, you know, they'll say it's one thing and then next thing you know, a player's having season ending surgery or something like that. And hopefully that's not the case, but man, it would be a big blow if Randle can't come back.
Yeah, Ian Begley's really connected to the Knicks. So when you said that there's been some level of concern, it kind of raised an eyebrow for me, because, you know, Randle's been taking light contact, and he even said it in that clip. Not sure if not sure if the clip, you know, portrayed that, but he said that he's still doing light contact, but I think the Knicks are just being super cautious, and maybe their concern is that, you know, they progress him into contact and then they do it too quickly and then, you know, something else happens. But I just think they're being very cautious, and maybe this sort of pushes the Julius Randle return even further. Because we've seen Randle's on IG and he wants to come back. I mean, you even saw his son Kyan post a video, or his wife posted a video of his son pretty much saying he's shooting a lot of threes, so why isn't he playing? It's like we're seeing Randle work out. We even saw OG Anunoby work out before tonight's game. Yeah. He's looking like he'll be back Tuesday, maybe, or even during the West Coast trip. But that, you know, it kind of raised an eyebrow, but at the same time, I'm just, you know, sort of maybe it kind of like lessened my expectations in regarding to when we should get Julius Randle back on the court. Maybe if I thought it was in the next couple of weeks, maybe this pushes it to the next 3 weeks, you know, maybe the beginning of April. Maybe the Knicks really want him to be not, he's not going to be 100%. I mean, these shoulder injuries are tricky, and I have some audio from Carmelo Anthony, and he sort of explains how Julius Randle can work around the shoulder injury. But yeah, I mean, does it, it raises my concern a little bit, but it doesn't, you know, raise it too much. But before the game, Ian Begley tweeted that, and I was like, oh, like, where did that come from? You know, but yeah, we just got to wait and see.
Yeah. And I think the thing is, like, you know, it's been a tough stretch for us, and obviously it's very easy to go the negative route, but
yeah,
like you said, it does raise my suspicions a little bit. And I think in the back of my head, I'm like most fans probably also think, it's just, you know, hey, we don't want any more bad news. So it's easy to kind of teeter on that side and say, man, what if Julius doesn't come back? But I think, like you said, I think this is the Knicks just being overly cautious, as they should be, in my opinion. You know, let's eventually get this team back healthy. And if that means holding out Julius a little bit longer, so be it, right?
Yeah.
Like you said, OG Anunoby's should be coming back right around the corner, and that would be a great boost for us in the meantime.
PL says OG coming back before Randle. Yes, that's a given. That's a given. PL says no concern as well. Look, PL, we gotta get all this news out there to you guys, because, you know, when a very prominent Knicks reporter, especially Ian Begley, tweets that, and, you know, even said it in his video, it raises a little bit of an eyebrow. But, you know, at the end of the day, I do think Randle is still going to come back. We just got to cross our fingers with that. I came across this audio from Carmelo Anthony. He actually, you know, was trying to describe how Julius Randle could work his way back from this shoulder injury that I thought was interesting. So here's Carmelo on his podcast, 7 p.m. in Brooklyn. Have you taken a look at his podcast? It's pretty dope.
No, not yet, but I'm going to have to.
Yeah, it's pretty dope. Here's Melo.
So I ask you this. It's not the shooting arm. It's not the shooting shoulder. But is it still, you know what I mean, as bad or worse as if it was the shooting shoulder because of the way he plays?
Yeah, because now you, if it's not you banging with your opposite shoulder, you get what I'm saying? Right, so now you still, you're not even like, yo. You get what I'm saying? So you're going, it's hard to like, to show it, but if I'm facing up and it's my left shoulder, like, I got to bang you with my right shoulder. Boom. To get, you know, or I can go right.
Right.
But I still got to come back, you know.
We got the steps.
Right. So I got to get people off. I got to use both shoulders, both arms. You know what I mean? So you ain't pushing off with the same arm you're shooting with.
Nah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's a lot of different little movements that you got to be careful and just make sure that it's right. But they going to get them right. And then it's going to come down to the pain tolerance that you can take, because it's, you're going to be in some type of pain.
That's the shit too. Like,
it's going to be uncomfortable.
That's the thing. Like,
it's your shoulder. Like,
the difference between like uncomfortable, like discomfort, and pain. Like,
it's a fine line.
You know what I'm saying? Like, how do you deal with that? Like, you know what I mean? Because it's like discomfort is different.
Trust. If I'm the trainer, yo, what we doing? I need you to be honest with me. Like,
right. When I say 1 in 10, tell me what.
Yeah. Right. Like, I want to fight for you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you can't do it, let's not do it.
Okay.
But if you saying you can give it a shot, then we're going to do what we got to do to give it a shot.
That was Melo on his podcast, 7 p.m. in Brooklyn. So he's saying Julius Randle, like we all know, is going to be in some pain, going to be in some discomfort, though he gave some good insight on that that I wanted to share to you guys. So, Chris, well, Melo speaks, and he's been around for a while now. Melo knows these injuries. Melo knows the Knicks training staff. He knows that, and he knows how Randle plays. And so what's your reaction to Melo when he said that?
Yeah, I mean, I think for the most part is a lot of what we were thinking. You know, Melo played a similar style of ball, you know, that bully ball, just like Randle, you know, and it's no secret that Randle uses that right arm and that right shoulder to create space. So he's going to have to, you know, somehow manage that. My thoughts are, though, I think Julius is going to turn into more of like a spot up type of shooter.
Yeah.
You know, maybe be a decoy of some sort. And at least until he gets more confident with it, or he sees how much pain he can take, you know. And I think Julius is a warrior, so I think he's going to be, you know, out there no matter what, really, as long as the New York Knicks let him be. So, you know, it's going to be something to definitely watch, but some good points by Melo, you know.
Yeah, I agree. I think when Julius comes back, I don't think we're going to see the same bully ball Julius. I think he's going to be – there's a reason why Kyan said he's shooting a lot of threes. I think he's going to be a shooter when he gets back. And sometimes he'll try to take it down low, but he's going to be very cautious in re-injuring that shoulder injury, because once you dislocate it once, it's easy to dislocate it again unless you get the surgery. So I do think Julius will come back, but – look, we miss his rebounding. We miss his big body down low. We miss everything, man. Julius is, you know, a valuable piece to this puzzle. So like Chris said, I do think when Julius comes back, I do think that he will be a shooter. And look, I mean, he was starting to shoot it well before he got hurt. But I still think that's better than nothing, right?
Yeah.
You know? Hey Knicks fans, I'm proud to be partnering with Underdog Sports, my favorite place to play fantasy games. You got to check out Pick'em. It's so easy to play. Just pick 2 to 5 stats of your favorite players and choose whether they'll go higher or lower. You can 20x your money by going 5-4-5. I've been, you know, choosing a bunch of Knicks on this and I'm absolutely loving it. Sound like fun? Just download their app and sign up using my code Knicks to get your first deposit up to $100 matched. I can't wait to see your entries.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, look, the guys, you could see that most of the guys on this team being thrust into these new roles where they're, you know, having to play these heavy minutes, they're tired out there, man. And we're not getting, you know, the most out of those guys. You know, some nights, yes. Nights like tonight, no. You know, I'm sure they would love, the more players we got, the more, you know, everybody can go back to their normal positions, their normal roles on this team. And, you know, anybody we can get back at this point in time will be a godsend.
Yes. And speaking of anybody that can get back, OG Anunoby was seen shooting before the game. He is on the brink of returning. That will be massive for the New York Knicks. This is his first time we've seen him shooting before the game, you know, practicing with the team. He's doing full contact. So it's just a matter of when he gets cleared. Johnson in the chat said, what's going on, Johnson? Without OG and Randle, this team is exhausted. Please, no more delay. I do think OG and Obi will come back in the next couple of games. I do think it's going to happen. He's been on the bench. He's been involved. He's been shooting. He's been practicing 5-on-5. Tom Thibodeau's given a lot of optimism around OG and Obi. So that is great news regarding the New York Knicks injury fronts. And Mitchell Robinson is running and jumping. Got that injury update. He's running and jumping. So he's running and jumping, Chris. That's what he does, right? Runs and jumps. So why can't he come back? Right?
No, look, I think Mitch, you know, maybe he might be slightly ahead of schedule. You know, it's good to see that, you know, good to hear that he's running and jumping, because like you said, that's primarily what he's going to be doing out there. But I still think you got to take it easy with Mitch. You know, we don't want this to become something that just, you know, comes back too quick, gets re-injured or something. We lose him, you know, hell, we end up losing him for the next season or something like that. You don't want that. So,
yeah,
you know, my focus right now is let's just get OG Anunoby out on that court, man, because like all the reports have been saying, he's out there, he's practicing, he's taking contact. You know, Tibbs is raving about him. But again, you know, medical staff just has not cleared him yet. So, you know, we thought he'd come back around. We were hoping to come back in the past Orlando game, you know, maybe one of these 76ers games. So we'll see. But the positive thing is he is right around the corner, whether it's the next game or the game after that. I'm sure OG will be back soon.
Yes, indeed. Hit some of these more some of these comments. I also have a YouTube poll in the chat that we'll touch on in a second. If you guys haven't voted on that, please do. Always appreciate you guys rocking with us Sunday evening. We do this every Sunday at 9:30, live streaming on YouTube. Then we post it on Apple and Spotify. Bob says, was saying we need to stick to our bread and butter with the inside game. We have been using a three-point shot way too much lately. Needed to be around 50 shots. Yeah, I mean, when you're missing, you know, especially like Hart tonight was, he was bad, but he has been improving, which stinks. I mean, I have some Josh Hart stats here that, you know, he has been improving his 3-point shot. I mean, he's been playing a lot of minutes, but what is he shooting? Like 40%, 42% in his last 10 games, something like that. And McBride has shot like 42% as well. And it's just tonight, it was just a stinker from both of them, you know, but Bob, yes, I agree. We do need to get back to that. S550 says the only bad thing is that spot up threes isn't his strong point. He's talking about Julius Randle. Yeah, I mean, he was shooting, what, 33%, something like that, to start the season from three, and then he got back to his bully ball play, Julius Randle. And that's what ultimately led him into, what was he averaging, 25 and 10 on his efficiency was crazy. So if you take away his aggressiveness and his bully ball nature and turn him into a spot up 3-point shooter, I don't think he'll be a spot up 3-point shooter. I still think he'll give you some post ups, but I think he'll be cautious in like driving to the hole. You're not really going to see him do that. But I do think if he shot before the injury, if he shot, let's say 30% threes and 70% of his shots were around the rim, playing that bully ball nature, I say after when he comes back, I think that number jumps to maybe 50-50, maybe even like 60-40, him shooting threes, because he's going to be cautious with that shoulder. So,
yeah, I think he'll be a decoy for a large part of it. You know, you know, nights when I've said this before, there's nights where Julius would go out there, you know, it'd be early in the game and the teams are double teaming him just because he commands that type of respect. So I think just having him out there, you know, maybe he'll get some of that. Maybe early on teams will kind of test him and kind of leave him out there, say, oh, prove to us that you're good, you know?
Yeah.
And if he hits a couple shots, maybe that changes things. But in my opinion, he'll be a decoy. He'll be more of a shooter. But if I know Julius, man, and the game's on the line or it's a close game, I don't think he's going to shy away from contact that much. You know, he might just lay it on the line. And maybe that's something the Knicks know as well. And maybe that's why, hey, they're not clearing him to, you know, come back just yet. Maybe they save him for playoff time because they know that he's just going to go all out. It could be something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll just see. CM says, can Randle wear some sort of catcher's pad? Randall's going to wear, when he comes back, we're going to see Randle in probably some sort of sleeve, probably some sort of long sleeve on his shoulder, all the way down to his arm, sort of like when Dwayne Wade, I think he had the same injury, he wore a sleeve to sort of keep that area intact, and he's going to just wear a sleeve. So catcher pads, no, but sleeves, yes, I think Randall's going to be wearing that sleeve. Big Task, what's going on, man? Hope all is well. Quick question, do you guys think that Brunson is trying to draw too many fouls too much? What do you think, Chris?
Yeah, but I feel like, and I guess call me biased, right? But I feel like a lot of times Brunson gets hit and just doesn't get those calls, man. You know, tonight he had a couple of and ones that he did hit, but there were some that were, you kind of just wonder, like, man, what does this guy got to do to get those type of calls? Like, he's clearly getting them to, you know, he's drawing contact. He's doing what he's supposed to do, drawing contact, and he's making difficult shots with that contact. For whatever reason, he's just not getting the calls. But that's Brunson's game, and the one thing you don't want Brunson to do is play outside of his game, right? You want him to play his game no matter what, because that's what got us here.
Yeah.
So in my opinion, you know, that's just built into his game. You know, he tries to draw fouls. He's a smaller dude, and that's really what you got to do when you kind of have everything stacked against you.
He attempted 8 free throws tonight. And Philadelphia's bench was trying to, like, call travels on him and offensive fouls tonight on him. But, yeah, like Chris said, that's his game. And usually 80% of the time he's getting fouled, he's getting whacked. He's a smaller guy, so, you know, the refs aren't going to call it all the time. But Nick shot 16 free throws tonight. 76ers shot 14 free throws. They were 8 of 14 from the line. Tonight, what, 19? Those are the turnovers. Knicks had the same amount of turnovers, 19 turnovers to 19 assists. And Philadelphia only had 13 turnovers. So turnovers tonight killed the New York Knicks. And when is it going to be time for Shake Milton to take Burks' spot, right? I mean,
if there was a game where you needed some Shake Milton, like situationally, you know, what can Milton give us? Offense, right? Why not have him out there, you know? I hate to go back to tonight's game because it was just maddening and frustrating. But, you know, I'm not saying Shake Milton's going to go out there and drop 20 or anything like that. But why not give him a look, you know?
Yeah, because Burks is, jeez, man. I mean, he is a net negative right now. He is nothing but, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, at this point, it is what it is with Burks at this point. But, yeah, Shake, I want to see some shake in there, man. I want to see some shake in there. SR50 says, do you think all the starters coming back late in the season hurt or help us late in the season? Or you mean like Randall and Anunoby? What do you mean, SR50? Come back to us.
Probably coming back late in the season, you know, since, you know, Brunson's been out there playing with the bench units and whatnot and people in different roles. I think that's probably what he's leaning towards.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Do you?
To an extent, right?
Yeah.
I think to an extent, just because you don't know what Julius Randle you're going to get, you know, like we've been talking about, is he going to be a decoy? Is his game going to change drastically? Will it hurt? I don't think it's going to hurt. It might look a little rough at first, so, you know, guys get acclimated, but I think, again, just getting guys back, being healthy, getting guys into their normal roles off the bench and whatnot, I think that's what's going to help us the most. You're not going to have guys, you know, playing in positions they normally wouldn't.
Yeah. Lou Biggie says, this team looks tired. The minutes have taken a toll on these backups, especially. Your thoughts? Backups, yeah. I mean, look. The thing about tonight's game is that we came out so flat. Like, compared to the game versus Orlando, the energy was just off. I mean, the Orlando game, everything was hitting on all cylinders. I mean, guys didn't look tired at all. Hart was amazing. Everyone was amazing in that game. Precious was amazing in that game. Look, Hart has now played 40-plus minutes in, what, 8 straight games or something like that for Josh Hart? So when OG comes back, he will get relegated into that bench role. But look, Devo, 3 of 12 tonight, but he's one of our best shooters on the squad, you know? And the way Dante plays, he brings that, like, I love the way he plays. Like, on defense, he reads passes as well as anyone, Dante. He tries to go for the steal. Most of the time, he actually converts on them. But I just love the way Dante's aggression on defense. He's smaller guard, but Dante plays well on defense. And he hasn't really been playing a lot of minutes. They're trying to limit his minutes as well. 36 tonight, also coming back from that hamstring. Hartenstein left this game with a back injury, I think. Saw some good things from Hartenstein. 10 rebounds, 5 offensive rebounds from Hartenstein. But to answer your question, I don't know, man. It's just, I was so happy after that Orlando game, and then we just got this stinker. That it just kind of like got me upset at the end of the day.
It's kind of it's like that's the key word, frustrating, because you know, they came out with all that energy on the Orlando game, and you figure with the win they'd come out here on our, on, you know, on our home court and just have that same type of energy, and they were just flat and could not hit a shot from three. It was just a rough game.
Bob says that first quarter was a stretch, 1-10. Look, at halftime, it was like in the 30s, man. It was one of those games where it's just, I mean, painful to watch, just painful. And then at the end, the Knicks teased us a little bit, but it is what it is. We move on at the end of the day. All right, let's check up this YouTube poll that I got up. I have a poll in the chat. Who's the Knicks' biggest threat in the first round? The Orlando Magic, the Miami Heat, the Cleveland Cavaliers, or other? And then you guys can comment who's other. But right now, if the season ended today, let me just pull up these standings. So Knicks lost tonight. Cleveland lost tonight. Orlando lost tonight. And the Heat lost. Heat are in the play-in at 8. So if the season ended today, the New York Knicks would be playing the Orlando Magic in the first round. And they are one of the selections. So who do you think poses the toughest matchup for the Knicks in the first round, Chris? Magic, Philly, you can even throw Indiana in there, or Miami, or Cleveland.
I'll say Miami, you know? I'm still sticking with Miami. If we ended up facing Miami, you know, I like our chances, but Miami's tough, and they will always concern me, man. 76ers, you could also throw them in there for me if they get Joel Embiid back.
Yeah. But then, look, 76ers, they're an annoying, tough, scrappy team. Kyle Lowry hit a big three in the fourth quarter. That kind of pissed me off. We can't escape him.
He had a couple of tough baskets, man. Like, I had flashbacks to the Heat series.
We can't escape Lowry. Like, we can't escape him. But if I was to rank them, I would say the teams that I would least want to face, I would think I would throw in, I think Embiid's coming back. So, yeah, it's still Miami. And then I would throw in Orlando and then Cleveland, because we own Cleveland. I don't think they'll cause us issues. So I would give it that order. But what's it at now? 28 votes. Miami is number one at 46%. So the people agree. Miami it is. They lost tonight, too, to the freaking Wizards.
Part of me wants to see Miami, though, man. I'd love to run it back.
They lost to the Wizards, man. And we can't freaking beat the 76ers at home. One of those annoying games. Bob says, watch us play the Bucks in the first round.
You know what? Watch it be the case, just because we played them so many damn times this season.
Yeah, I know. All right, got some nerd stats for you guys. So this tweet is from Bobby Marks. This is from regarding Julius Randle. By missing tonight's game, Julius Randle will forfeit a $1.28 million bonus. The incentive was for games played 65 and then New York reaching the first round of the playoffs. The bonus is now deemed unlikely for next season, and the Randle cap hit will get adjusted to $28.9 million. Bunch of, you know, money talk. So the Knicks will save, they'll get a tax credit and they'll save money because Randle didn't hit the 65 game mark. Also pulled a crazy stat. This was before tonight's game. Chris and I do these, you know, we have our notes. This was before tonight's game. Josh Hart is grabbing rebounds at a crazy rate. 19% of his missed field goal, of opponents' missed field goals, Josh Hart is grabbing the rebounds. That is the best at his position. Josh Hart is playing, you know, in terms of rebounding, Chris. 19% of opponent misses, man. He's grabbing those rebounds. And he took off his headband tonight because he was started 0 for 6 from 3. He was pissed off.
That's a little bit of superstition there with Josh Hart. There, he probably thought he had the wrong headband on or something. Because, you know, look, he's been playing amazing outside of tonight. You know, he has been on a tear, man. He's been averaging damn near like a double double basically since the All-Star break. You know, so, you know, I want to praise Josh Hart, but man, tonight was kind of rough. He kind of reverted back to his old self. A lot of hesitating on the three. I know he took 7 threes tonight, but
he was just hesitating.
He was hesitating. He wasn't driving or, you know, on those fast breaks we're used to him taking it coast to coast for the most part. He was just stopping at the three-point line, backing up, you know. Again, really weird game for the New York Knicks tonight.
Yeah, Precious, man, had a good game last game versus Orlando. He was playing, who was it, Paolo, really well. Blocking, I think he had a career high in blocks last game. He's blocking his opponent's shots at a 2.7% clip. That is the 82nd percentile at his position. He has now started, Chris, 18 games since the OG and Julius Randle injury. And he's more than just a throw-in, man. Precious has been really, really awesome. To say the least, he's been awesome for us. Is he limited on the offensive end? Yes. Do teams kind of sag off of him? They're daring him to shoot the three. I think he had a couple tonight, right? And was open there in the corner in the fourth quarter. But in what the New York Knicks are asking for him, I'll give him like an A. I mean, he's come in here. He's done his job well. He's played well. And shout out to Precious.
Shout out to Precious, man. I mean, and shout out to Josh Hart. Look, again, with Precious, like I said, when we brought him on, I was like, yo, this guy is not a bum. He's a good player. You know, he can stretch the floor out a little bit for you. You know, like tonight, 1-for-3. You know, nothing crazy. But again, he keeps teams a little bit honest, right? But, you know, early on with Precious, it didn't look good. He got kind of in the hot seat with Tibbs. We thought we'd never see him out there again. And he came back with a vengeance, man. And man, he's been amazing for us. Amazing. Playing probably the best ball of his career for the New York Knicks.
Yeah.
You know, I'm pretty sure fans out there in Toronto didn't see this side of Precious Achiuwa until now. And they're probably pissed.
Yeah, shout out to Precious, man. Been playing for what the New York Knicks have asked him to do. He's been playing his butt off, man. He's been doing it well. Bob says the Boston lost to the Cavs tonight. Wow.
Wow.
No, Brooklyn lost to the – Brooklyn won against Cleveland. Brooklyn beat Cleveland tonight. Bob says Precious and Hart, the only one stepping up with this team. I don't agree with you with that, Bob. Come on, Bob. Guys are stepping up, man. Brunson was off tonight. McBride stepping up. McBride, look, his three-point jump over his career from his rookie season – he wasn't playing a lot of games, 25% from three his rookie season. Second year in the league, McBride was shooting 31% in the league. This year, McBride is shooting 40% from three and 42% from non-corner threes. Tonight, he was an 0-4, but other than tonight, he's been awesome. McBride has stepped up here, and McBride has taken Alec Burks' lunch money. I mean, he is like when we're whole, whenever that is, said that like 40, 50 times already. McBride is not coming. He's not going to be relegated to his bench role. He's not going to be stuck on the bench. He's going to play is what I'm saying. And Burks, I think, is going to be that odd man out. And for good reason, McBride has come in here and he's outplayed Burks. And I don't think the Knicks front office thought that was going to be the case. I thought they were thinking when they acquired Burks, I thought they were thinking that Burks was going to come in here and some nights give you 20, some nights give you 15, some nights run the offense. And look, it hasn't worked, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I'll be the first one to admit it. I even said Miles McBride was going to be the odd man out. Once we got Bogdanovich, once we got Alec Burks, I was like, it has to be Miles McBride because we thought we were going to get Alec Burks from Detroit, you know, and it's crazy to say, but look, we thought we were going to get, you know, 39.4% from the field goal range, 40% from three. You know, we have not got that from Alec Burks at all. He is shooting 29% in the 11 games played with the Knicks, 31% field goal range overall. He was shooting 90% from the free throw line with the Pistons, and he is only shooting 64% with the Knicks. Look, I know Detroit, he had a bigger sample size, but I don't know what makes you fall off a cliff that fast. And like you said, Miles McBride has just been the better player. It's a no-brainer at this point. Miles McBride gets those minutes 10 times out of 10 over Alec Burks.
Wow, those numbers you just read were alarming, to say the least.
It's insane.
Yeah. And look, shout out to McBride playing his butt off, but yeah, Burks has just, he's been disappointing, man. I thought he was going to come in here like everyone did. Thought he was going to come in here and, you know, when he's in the game, he can score, but he hasn't been scoring. He's been turning the ball over. He's been losing his man on defense. He's been missing assignments on offense. Tonight he missed an assignment, tried to get Bogdanovich the ball, and he has just been terrible. He has been bad. Donald, what's going on? Says Hartenstein plus 10 in 23 minutes. Sims minus 18 in 22 minutes. Yeah, I mean, Sims, Hartenstein was awesome tonight, but Sims, I don't think, like, when I saw Sims out there on the floor, I didn't think he was terrible. You know? I didn't think he was that bad. I just love the effort from Sims. But again, yeah, you know?
I can't give Jericho Sims much flack, man. I mean, in most scenarios, he wouldn't be out there to begin with. You know, he had a really good putback dunk off an offensive board late in the game that I thought gave us a little bit of an energy. You know, I don't give any fault to Jericho out there, man. He's doing the best he can.
Yeah. CM says we still need a pure PG on the second unit with McBride as the two. Look, Knicks thought they were going to get that from Burks and had McBride parked in the corner, and he's a great three-point shooter, and it just hasn't worked out. Not saying Burks is a point guard because he is not, but it is what it is at this point. Donald said it's bad shooting night, but more Deuce and no Burks and less Sims and Bogey is a win. I thought tonight, like Patrick, what's going on? Patrick Thomas says Dibs needs to read the game better. He should have played more of his bench players. Milton needs to get some playing time and give Brunson more rest. I agree. I mean, especially tonight, you know, I thought Bogdanovich should have been in that game late when he was, when Precious was there in the corner. I thought when the Knicks needed a bucket, look, Bogdanovich, was he has made 185 threes this season. That is top five in the NBA. And Dante has hit 200 threes this season. That is number three in the NBA. Only Luka and Steph are ahead of Dante and Clay. Dante and Luka and Steph are ahead of Bogdanovich. So tonight, especially Patrick, I thought that Bogdanovich should have played more. He was one of the most, he was the, like, efficiency wise, he was 2 of 4 from three, 4 of 8 from the field. Only 18 minutes, but I think Thibs likes to play Precious at times late in the game, especially late tonight because of his defense, because Philly was playing physical and that's not Bogdanovich's game. So yeah, what was your observation in terms of, especially tonight, the late game? Yeah, I think it was one of Thibs' best games.
Yeah, I didn't agree with having Precious out there late, you know, for that three. I would have loved to see Bogdanovich out there. I would have loved to see maybe some Jalen Brunson and Miles McBride out there. Again, I know guys were having tough shooting nights, but, you know, I felt we were just missing offense, man. We were missing offense, you know. That's it, man. Like, why not give Shake Milton some run out there?
They're not going to do it.
Tibbs had to see. Tibbs always says what? Oh, the game tells you what to do. You know, the flow of the game tells you what to do. You see these guys are breaking shots left and right, shot clock violation after shot clock violation. Why not get some creators out there? Shake Milton can create his own shot, you know? I know he's not in the prime of his game or whatnot, but why not give the 76ers something else to think about, you know?
And I don't think
he would have had a chip on his shoulders against his old team.
I want Shake, like, look, give over Burks. Yeah. Like, well, what can hurt at that point? I mean, but what's that tell you? Like, Dibs, it's all about trust, and he doesn't trust them, you know?
Yeah.
In a game where we needed offense, Bogdanovich only played 18 minutes and Burks 12 minutes, McBride 16 minutes tonight, and the starters except Hartenstein, who went out with an injury played over 30 minutes a game. Hartenstein played 24. So it just shows you one thing, that Thibs doesn't trust Bogdanovich on the defensive end. And he damn sure don't trust Alec Burks. Donald says Bogey, his defense. Yeah. I mean, that's why he's not essentially in these games and in these late game situations. Teams are sagging off Precious. It's essentially Jalen Brunson. If you can't beat us by yourself, and tonight he was inefficient tonight, and if Josh Hart doesn't have it going, which he didn't tonight, 1 of 7 from 3, and Dante, when you compile your backcourt, Brunson 1-9 from three, Hart 1-7 from three, DiVincenzo 3-12 from three, and you have teams sagging off Precious, and if your backcourt isn't hitting threes, it's a recipe for disaster. So, yeah, and that's what you saw.
Yeah, we saw a lot of bad shooting tonight, and I mean, look, we got the 76ers again, and I just hope the Knicks come out with more energy than they did tonight, because, you know, they know what to expect now. You know what to expect. We got to come out there with some more fire and get a dub, man. We can't, you know, this Knicks team has been a good team against, you know, especially at home. We've had a good home record, and we need to go out there and defend home court, man, because if we have another performance like we did tonight, man, I don't know if I could take that.
Yeah, that was tough. That was tough. So, rough game, man. I mean, the clocks went forward today, and, you know, when you woke up, felt kind of weird, and that's essentially what this game felt like. It was just one of those ugly, ugly games that you want to forget and never think about ever again. In case you're just joining us, we had a Julius Randle update. Ian Begley says that there's a little bit of concern as to why Julius Randle hasn't progressed into his next phases regarding his progression and his shoulder injury. And Ian Begley is connected as they can be. He said that. Let me play the audio again for the guys, for you guys that are just joining us.
For those two, but with Randle, you know, he had been doing everything except taking contact, everything that Ananobi had been doing prior to taking contact for a long time. And Randle hasn't been cleared yet for contact, at least he hadn't been as of earlier this week. And there was some concern about, you know, why it was taking so long for Randle to actually get cleared to go back to the practice floor, take contact with his teammates, because he's been at this stage for a while now where he's doing everything but that. And there's some concern about why it's taken so long for him to get cleared, because as of earlier this week, it hadn't happened yet. He's looked good in all the workouts, as far as I've heard, but it's just interesting that it's taken a while for him to get cleared for that contact.
All right, so it's taken Julius Randle longer than they expect to get cleared for that contact. Maybe he gets cleared next week for, you know, full 5-on-5 action. So Ian Begley just offered some little bit of concern. I don't think it's too much concern to be concerned with yet, but that was from Ian Begley. And OG Anunoby is on the brink of returning. OG Anunoby update. He's practicing 5-on-5. Tom Thibodeau, every time he gets asked about OG Anunoby, it looks like he lights up. So it seems like, boy, man, we, like, if he just come back next game versus Philly, that would be awesome. But I think best case is West Coast trip, when we start that West Coast trip, and then we'll get OG back. But he's returning. Then Richard Robinson is running and jumping. So all of these updates, you know, it's just week 4 of more injury updates for the New York Knicks. Can somebody please return already?
Yeah. Just one. That's OG. Just give us OG, you know? Again, we need the guy that had us, you know, top defense in the league. You know, I think that's the start, right? Let's get OG Anunoby back. He plays both sides of the ball. We need it, man. We need OG Anunoby out there.
Of course. So, looking like he'll get back out there soon. And whatnot. Donald says, don't have more than 4 bad shooting games a year. Let's hope that was number 4. Yeah, let's hope. Let's hope. I mean, awful. I mean, what we shot 32% from the field and 22% from three. Yeah, man. 73 points in today's, in 2024, put up 73 points. That is, I mean, bad. Yeah.
We have a tweet from Stefan Bondi, who wrote, too many turnovers and bad shooting, but the starters still won their minutes, talking about the Knicks starters. Reserves were pummeled. Bojan and Burks are playing the type of minutes projected even with a healthy roster, and they're still losing those minutes. So, unfortunately, bad news. More bad news on top of Bojan and Burks, but, you know, they're being blamed for this loss, essentially.
Kendrick Perkins, horrible L tonight for the New York Knicks. You got to win the games that you're supposed to win. Look, rough game, man. Rough game out there. Rough game.
To further that point, right?
It's, yeah, one of those games, man. Especially when the East is like so tight up in the air. And, you know, look, if you could came into tonight, you expect them to win, right?
For sure.
These are the games you need to win.
For sure. I thought, again, like I said, I think the Knicks had more talent than the 76ers. And unfortunately, talent can only get you so far. You know, you got to want it. You got to play hard. And that's the 76ers brought it tonight, man.
Yeah. So look at the East right now. Knicks are number four, still in the fourth seed. Magic, number five. Philadelphia, number six. Indy, seven. Miami, eight. It's gonna be tight from here on out. It is gonna be extremely tight from now until the end of the regular season. So hopefully OG Anunoby can come back next game in the next couple of games, and we should be, you know, one step at a time at this point. Donald says, once fully healthy, 2-3 games under the belt, no team taking 4 of 7 from us. I love the enthusiasm, Donald. That's how I've been feeling for the most part. You know, I don't like when healthy, we saw what it looked like in January, and we just been trying to get to that point, but it's been an update here, an update there, but OG will come back soon.
Yeah. Yeah. And I agree, man, fully healthy, we're going to be a problem, man. So,
yeah.
You know, whether it's, you know, right now, you know, things are still playing out. Everything's tight in the Eastern Conference, but in my opinion, let's just get to the playoffs. Let's get there healthy. And then, you know, look, yeah, I'm concerned about playing the Heat. I'm concerned about playing, you know, the Bucks. But in a series, I like our chances against anyone, man, especially if we're healthy.
Speaking of that, we're up to 38 votes on the poll. Who is the next biggest threat in the first round? Magic at 16%, Heat at 50%, Cleveland 18%, other. And comment your thoughts at 16%. Yeah, nobody wants to play the Heat in the first round. But if it was to end today, it would be Orlando. And I like our chances against Orlando, even though Orlando, you know, they came in here trying to punk us last game. Anthony Black tried to punk Jalen Brunson, tried to trip him. It's like, why? What is with these teams trying to come into MSG and try to punk the Knicks all of a sudden?
I don't know, man. I don't know. They're just poking the bear, man.
You like that, though. Do you think that's or the Magic? Would that ever be like a rivalry, the Magic and the Knicks? You think so?
I don't think so, man, because, you know, every time the Knicks go to Orlando, that's like, yes, another home game out there for us, you know? So, you know, I don't think that's a rivalry. I mean, look, Orlando is a good young team. They're only getting better and better, and I do have respect for them, but, you know, I don't really think that as a rivalry. You know, it's not like Knicks Heat or Knicks Boston. You know, it's not to that level. Could it become one? Who knows? But right now, nah. Not with Anthony Black, you know.
Yeah,
like, come on. Maybe if it was Banchero, you know, going at Brunson or something like that, you know. But come on, Anthony Black.
Out of all people, Anthony Black. All right, so we gave you the Rando update. Did the little post game on tonight's game. Let's go around the NBA, Chris. What do you want to start with? Kelly Olynyk got $13 million per year in Toronto.
Yeah.
And Isaiah Hartenstein is looking to get paid this summer. So if Olynyk got $13 million, you essentially, what do you think Hartenstein would get?
Maybe he'd get like 17.
17, 18, 19, something like that.
17, 18. I mean, he's made... You can't deny how important Ihart has been to the Knicks this season, man. With Mitchell Robinson going down, he just took it to a whole nother level, man. I got to say, he has to be playing better than Olynyk, but Olynyk does give you a different type of game. You know, he spaces the court out there. He's tough on the inside, the paint as well. You know, he's a gritty player. But I think overall, Ihart, with his impact on the defensive end, can give you some scoring, good passer. I think he gets, you know, a little bit more considering what he's done this season.
Yeah, Olynyk signed that. Look, Olynyk is what, in his 30s. When he signed that contract, I was like, he's a good player. So he gets what, $12 million next year, $13 million in 2 years. So Hartenstein, you can say that Hartenstein will probably, the Spurs will probably throw out him $18 million, and the Knicks this summer are going to have a decision to make regarding that. So a lot of things regarding, you know, pay Hartenstein and maybe dangle Mitchell Robinson in the summer, but that's an option for the New York Knicks' front office. But just wanted to bring up, you know, the Olynyk signing, and thought that was interesting because right when he got signed, I thought about Hartenstein. I was like, that is low. That is low. You know?
Same. Or it could just be, you know, I mean, do you think Kelly Olynyk stays where he's at? Could that just be him getting a favorable contract that they'll be able to kind of flip? Could be something like
could
that.
Could be. They could flip him. So, how's this for enthusiasm? Donald in the chat. Wow. How is this for enthusiasm? This best team we've had in the last 55 years. Once healthy, we just way too deep and way too tight. I'm a fan for 55 years. Shout out to Donald in the chat, man.
Wow, let's go, Donald. 55
years.
55 years.
Wow, that is crazy. 55 years. That is a true New York Knicks fan right there, man. Respect, salute. Donald. I always love, you know, every like, if you've been a fan for 5 years or in Donald's case, 55 years, I always love you guys coming in here and chiming in. So shout out to you, sir. Fan for 55 years. That is crazy. Yeah, the losses. What was that? Sorry.
That is awesome. That is awesome. 55 years.
55 years. That's awesome. All right. So around the NBA today, Bucks won. Heat lost to the Wizards at home. And the Wizards are the worst team in the NBA. I don't know how that happened. Pacers beat Orlando. Knicks lost to Philly. A lot of wonky losses today. Brooklyn 120 over the Cavs to 101. It's a weird day in the NBA.
Very weird day, man. The only thing I guess you could say that stayed the same is the Grizzlies lost to the Thunder, you know, 124-93. That's probably the most regular box score of them all.
And Rudy Gobert gets fined $100,000 for doing this to the NBA referees. $100,000, Rudy Gobert. That was
they took it personal, man. That's a lot of money, man. They took it personal though. He was definitely insinuating, you know, hey, who paid you guys? Who paid you guys to give this game to the Cleveland Cavaliers?
Yeah.
So
CM says
shout out can to only Rudy Gobert. I mean,
that's a lot. I mean, for him, that's probably like equivalent to us getting fined, probably like maybe what, $200, you know, something
lost,
like that.
He lost $10 bill, fell out of his wallet.
Fell out on the floor, you know. These guys get paid so much freaking money. CM says the Knicks can only offer iHeart $16 million max because of the rules. Yeah, so that's going to be a name to watch this summer. I thought the Olynyk signing was interesting because I think iHeart will get more than that, but that's going to be a name to watch. I do think Isaiah Hartenstein wants to stay in New York too. I do think that's important, so... Yeah. We just have to just wait till the summer because it's going to be interesting. But right now, we just have to get healthy. OG's coming back. Then behind that, maybe Randle. But just gave you guys the update again. Randle's looking a little bit of concern regarding Julius Randle. But then Mitchell Robinson is running and jumping. And then I told Chris, that's what Mitchell Robinson does. He runs and jumps. So get him out there. Let's go. Get out on the court.
I say let's take it slow with Mitch, you know, let's make sure he's 100% before he gets back on that court, man.
Yeah. Yeah, take it slow. All right, so appreciate every single one of you in here. We do this every single Sunday, 9:30 live streaming. Normally do, you know, live podcast, which we're doing now, but you know, it just happened that the Knicks were playing tonight. I don't think they're playing next Sunday, so we can get to talk about a lot more other than the game tonight. Tonight was just a debacle, so it kind of put us in one of those moods. But thank you to our channel members, S550, if you're still in here. Thank you to our channel members. If you want to become a channel member, you can just hit the join button down below, as low as $2.99. You can come in the live stream and give your take, man. Give your take. Come on in the live stream, hop in the live stream, and Chris and I will, you know, be on here with you. So that's fun.
Yes, right? Sir. We need more of that. Yeah.
Look, thanks for giving you our time every Sunday. Always appreciate you guys giving us your time on every single Sunday. So smash the thumbs up button, subscribe to the channel. If you're on Apple and Spotify, leave us a review. That really helps as well. Chris, anything else you wanted to hit on before you hop on out? We hop on out of here.
Yeah, man. I wanted to touch on Sengun, man. It looks like probably got really badly injured. I mean, the other night, I think he dropped 45 or something like that. And now tonight, I'm hearing he was, pushed out in a wheelchair, man. You know, prayers for Sengun, hopefully nothing serious. But, it looks like he might have been seriously injured, man.
Yeah, looks like he broke his leg or something like that. Ooh. And he, or something, I'm just speculating. They look like something like that. But yeah, hope Sengun is all right because he reminds me of Jokic so much that it's scary.
And he is super young, man. He's only just barely grazing his potential, man.
Yeah. So hope he's all right. So, S550 is always in here. Johnson, if OG is back, but everyone plays like today, we still would not win. That is true, Johnson. If OG Anunoby comes back and the New York Knicks shoot 20% from three, it's going to be a tough day in the office, but I doubt it, I doubt it.
It'll probably be a box score similar, something like 70 to 72 or something like that, because OG's going to play his ass off defensively. Whether we can score or not, that's a different story. But I think he'll help. I think he'll help on both sides of the court, man.
Over under 30 minutes for OG Anunoby in his first game back.
I say over.
Over?
I say over. The way Tibbs is gushing about him, saying he's doing everything out there, Tibbs might damn well throw him out there the full game. Who knows? He basically did it the minute OG got to the Knicks.
But they've been careful with Brunson. 32 minutes for Brunson tonight. So
that is true. I think they're making a conscious effort. They've had too many close calls with Brunson. So, the Knicks are definitely being, cautious for sure.
Yeah. All right. Tuesday, got to go get him, man. East is tightening up. Hopefully OG can get back on Tuesday. Appreciate every single one of you in here. Thanks for listening. I'm Anthony.
I'm Chris.
Catch you guys next time. As always, it's Let's Go Knicks. Peace.
Peace.
Thanks for listening. Please hit that follow button to stay updated with our latest episodes. And we also greatly appreciate those 5-star reviews. For you video enthusiasts out there, head over to our YouTube channel to catch the podcast in video form. YouTube.com/KnicksNation. You'll find all the relevant links conveniently listed in the show notes below. See you next time.